My heart pants for God. That was a lovely song, brothers. I was very refreshed by that. I'm so glad to be with you all tonight. I've been listening to the Evening Line messages at home, being refreshed, turning my heart to the Lord. I enjoy that we have a new spirit and a new heart. Do you have a new spirit and a new heart?
Amen.
I can see that. I can hear that. It's real. Amen. And your heart is the gateway in God's economy for life to get in and for life to flow out. How will you conduct your contact with the freshmen this fall? You may be already planning some things, having internships, but I hope on your schedule for contacting freshmen, for having the gospel at the beginning of the fall quarter or semester, I hope on your list is, take care of my heart. Did you think of this? Is this on the list for the gospel preparation, for the outreach, for the outflow of life? We have to take care of our heart. It's not just some outward activities that we do, that we schedule, but there has to be our heart needs to be prepared. Is your heart open to receive some new people? Our heart needs to be broadened, right? Who will shepherd these new ones? Certainly there's saints in the homes, timers, serving ones, but I hope many of you will be able to have space in your heart for some new people this fall. Then we saw that we need to be pure in heart. Pure in heart. Very rare to find someone who is pure in heart. But if you are pure in heart, and as the Lord purifies your heart, you begin to see God. What a blessing. I think this week, more of you have been seeing God. And last night we saw that we need to love the Lord with part of our heart. What? We need to love the Lord with our whole heart. Absolutely. The Lord wants it all. He wants all of your heart. So we need to open to Him. We need to spend time with Him. Let Him kiss us. Let Him draw us. Right? Draw us from so many distractions, so many other things that may be occupying our heart, to love the Lord with our whole heart. Tonight we come to message 5. How about let's read the title together? Dealing with the Heart for the Growth in Life. So we have another message we'd like to share with you on dealing with the heart. We've seen what the heart is, how crucial it is. We've seen this matter of purity and love. Now tonight we come to the matter of dealing with the heart. The leading cause of death, physical death, in the United States is heart disease. Heart disease. And I would venture to say the leading cause of Christians not reaching maturity. Of course, as a believer, you're regenerated. You have the life of God. It's eternal. You can never die. But not reaching maturity. What's the cause? It must be the heart. The heart. Not dealing with the heart. Not dealing with the heart. So tonight, we want to share some, I believe will be very enlightening and helpful fellowship to all of us, regardless of what stage we are, on how we can deal with our heart. But I'd just like to give you two words that deal with our physical heart. How can we have a healthy physical heart? These two words really apply to our spiritual heart as well, or our psychological heart. And those two words, you probably know already, you've heard them, had a nutrition class or health class in high school. Those two words are diet and exercise. What have you been doing this week? You have been on a healthy teaching diet. All the words that you've heard in every session have been the healthy words of God's economy. That's all we have here. We don't have anything else. If you want some other words, positive thinking, something else to make you feel good, they're not here. Yeah, all we have is healthy words because the Lord wants us to have a healthy diet. If your heart is having trouble, then I ask you to consider, what have you been eating? What have you been taking into your being? This week, we changed our diet. So our heart right now on Saturday night is feeling good.
Amen.
We're feeling like we love the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord is so precious to us. We even love the brothers and the sisters. Yeah, it's easy to love the Lord sometimes, but not so easy to love those in our corporate living, those that we've been with a long time. But spontaneously, you love others because your heart is healthy. A healthy heart is a heart of love for God and for man. Then, you know, the second word, of course, is exercise. Exercise. To have a healthy heart, you need a good diet and you need to exercise. And again, I ask you, what have you been doing this week? Exercising. Exercising your spirit, right? All the parts of your spirit. To exercise your conscience. Oh, what a great matter this is. The conscience is the leading part of your spirit, the main part of your spirit. When you talk about exercise of the spirit, I hope you don't forget the exercise of the conscience. Exercise of the spirit is not just to shout louder, it's to take care of your conscience, that life can flow into you and flow out of you in a clear and pure way. This is the exercise we need. Exercise of our spirit and the exercise of our heart. So I'd like to give you a few verses before we get into the outline. The Lord touched me with these verses to share with you. You can write them down. Genesis 2:15. And Jehovah God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. I don't know if this verse ever stood out to you before in Genesis 2. We know God created man in his image. We know he breathed into him the breath of life. The tree of life is there in Genesis 2. But did you see what God did? He put man in the garden to work it. That means to till it, to cultivate it, to break up the ground. Why? So that God could send the rain and the tree of life could grow. This garden of Eden in Genesis 2 is a picture of our heart. Dear young people, you have to keep the garden. Your heart is a garden. Your heart is a garden. But you have to keep it. You have to take care of it. We'll see tonight what we need to do. We need to deal with the heart. We need to take care of the heart. Cultivate the heart. And I like to spend a little time on this word. You need to keep it. Keep it. What does that mean? I have a heart. How do I keep it? This word keep actually means to guard it. To guard it. On the positive side, we need to keep our heart that the tree of life can grow in us. On the negative side, we need to guard it. Why? There's an enemy. There's an enemy who wants to come into the garden. And matter of fact, he did in the next chapter. Why? Because man did not guard it. Man did not guard the garden. Man was a little bit careless, and the serpent came in. I'd like to ask you, how about your heart? This is a picture of our heart. My dear young people, I hope all of you would not be passive when it comes to your heart, but you would guard it. Guard it. And the verse that goes along with this, of course, is Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart. Or keep your heart above all that you guard. That means this is the most important thing to guard, is your heart. Why? For from it are the issues of life. Whatever you will become, whatever will come out of you, comes from your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you take care of your heart, then the issues of your heart will be positive, will be healthy. But if we don't take care of our heart, I don't know what will be the issues of your life. I don't know where you will be in 10 years. You're in the college training tonight. You have a desire for the full-time training. You have a desire to serve the Lord, to be useful to the Lord. But if you don't guard your heart, you won't be here. You won't be here. So I hope we would have such a feeling that we would guard our heart above all that you guard. This is such a word, such a word. I don't know if any of you know that simple children's song. I like to sing this to my kids, and sometimes when I help with the children's meeting. If you know it, you can join me. Lord, today, keep my heart, keep it all the day. While I'm young, keep my heart soft, dear Lord, I pray. Lord, I would keep my heart through every day, soft and open unto you. You should never stop singing this song. While I'm young, I'm still young. We have a young spirit. In this song, it says, Lord, keep my heart. But then it changes and it says, Lord, I would keep my heart. Isn't that something? We should pray, Lord, keep my heart. Lord, guard my heart. But then the Lord would say to us, you need to keep your heart. You need to guard our heart. We need to cooperate with the Lord to guard our heart. You know, when we sin, we can just confess, and the Lord cleanses us from all sins. But when things come into our heart, it's a little bit more difficult to deal with that. Right? When something enters your heart, a thought enters your heart, a feeling enters your heart. If you let that sit in your heart, if you let that take root in your heart, something will grow out. Some issue will come out. Yeah, if I just see something that I shouldn't see on the internet, say, Lord, cleanse me. And he does. I'm cleansed. I can go on. But if what I see enters my heart, if I don't guard my heart, then what I see begins to take root. And then I begin to consider that, what I saw, or what I heard from that professor at school, or what I see those people doing on YouTube. Yeah. It's much more serious when something enters your heart. So that's why it's so important, dear young people, for us to guard our heart. Don't let it come in. Don't let it come in. And if it comes in, deal with it right away. Don't let it take root. You know, there's a saying in the world, right? You can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop him from building a nest in your hair. That's what it is. That's what the heart is. Don't let thoughts, don't let feelings grow in you, take root in you. We want the Lord himself to take root in our heart, not other things. Then I give you two other verses. We need to go more quickly. Again, you can write these down. I encourage you to spend a little time with the Lord on these. Psalm 51:6, you know what it says? Behold, this is David's prayer of repentance. Psalm 51, very good psalm. Encourage you to read over, pray over. David in Psalm 51:6 says to the Lord, behold, you delight in truth in the inward parts. The Lord delights in truth in the inward parts. That is reality. The Lord wants reality in our inward parts. And in the hidden part, you would make known wisdom to me. What are the inward parts? The inward parts are the parts of our heart. What's the hidden part? Our spirit. Our spirit is hidden within our heart. In this one verse, dear young people, you have your spirit and you have your heart. Take care of your spirit and take care of your heart. The Lord delights in truth in the inward parts. He loves to see young people that have reality in their inward parts. And this is in contrast with Matthew 15:8. In Matthew 15:8, the Lord was speaking to the Pharisees and lawyers. He said, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart stays far away from me." Isn't that something? We could honor, it's possible for us to honor the Lord with our lips, to speak for the Lord in the meeting, to utter a prayer, to declare our love for the Lord, to consecrate ourselves to the Lord. But our heart could stay far away from Him. When I read this verse, I just said, "Lord, it just doesn't." When you read that verse, doesn't it just grieve your heart? That, like, doesn't it just make you sad for the Lord? That this could be the situation, that some could honor Him with their lips, but their heart is far away. You know what this is called? This is called hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. To say one thing, but your inward reality is something else. We want the Lord to save us from this. We want the Lord to have the true worship. We would worship Him. How? In spirit and in truthfulness, genuineness. The Christ that we've enjoyed would be our genuineness, our sincerity. This is the true worship that He's seeking. So I give you these few verses. I hope these verses would be helpful to you in your going on with the Lord. Okay, now let's read Roman numeral 1 in message 5. Roman numeral 1 together. The basic need for the building up of the church is the growth in life. Thus, we need to pay our full attention to the growth in life. So tonight, we'd like to begin by connecting these two things, actually three things. The title said, dealing with the heart for the growth in life. So our heart is so important for the growth in life. And let me just give you three things so you know what is the growth in life. The growth in life is this. Number one, that growth in life is the increase of God's element. The increase of God's element in us is the growth of life. This is what we're talking about. We're not talking about getting bigger. Yeah, some of the brothers, yeah. Still growing, right? Some brothers might be 18, still have a little bit more to grow. Yeah, you're starting to work out, still growing. Yeah. Some of us, we get older. We're not growing anymore that way, but we start growing out this way a little. Yeah. We're not talking about that kind of growth. We're talking about the increase of God's element. Amen. Oh, don't you want God's element to increase? Amen. So you need to take care of your heart so God's element can increase in you. Number two, the growth of life is the increase of the stature of Christ. The stature of Christ. The Lord was born into us as a babe. A babe. We were born as newborn babes. 1 Peter 2:2. But we need to grow unto salvation. We need to grow up. Maybe you received the Lord just a year ago. We're so happy for you. Maybe you received the Lord how long ago? 10 years ago. Sixth grade conference. You received the Lord. How much has Christ grown in you? What's the stature of Christ? Are you still an infant or maybe a toddler now? Now you can walk around a little bit, but you fall down once in a while, you know? You could say a few words, "Mama, mama," but you can't say too much. Amen. Keep growing. Keep growing. Don't stop. Don't stop growing. The growth in life, thirdly, is the increase of the ground of the Holy Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit has more ground in you. So the increase of the element of God, the increase of the stature of Christ, and the increase of the ground of the Holy Spirit. We need to give Him more ground in us. This is the growth in life. And it depends on our heart. How much the Lord can grow in us depends on our heart. But now there's an important connection. Why are we talking about dealing with our heart? Is it just so I can say, oh, I have a pure heart? And everybody can go, wow, look at that brother. He's got a pure heart. And then they can say, ooh, look at that sister. Man, she really loves the Lord with her whole heart. Is that why we're talking about this? Absolutely not. Our taking care of our heart is not for our individual spirituality. It's for the church. It's for God's heart's desire. The basic need for the building up of the church is the growth in life. Dear young people, this is the goal. Everything is for the building of the church. I hope your life would be for the building of your church. Your time with the Lord in the morning, it's for the building of the church. Your Bible reading, it's for the church. You're going to the home meetings. It's not just for yourself to grow in life and to become a specimen. Wow. Look at that diamond. Wow. You know, my wife, I like to remind her, she grew up on Diamond Street. Yeah. She's my diamond. Yeah. My precious stone. Yeah. But sisters, the Lord's goal is not to make you an individual diamond. Wow, what clarity. What color. What cut. Are those the three C's for diamond? Anyway, yeah. Don't get distracted. Come back. Amen. It's not to be an individual diamond. It's to be in God's building. You have to be built into God's building. You have to be a precious stone in the building. It's for the church. It's for the church. And it's so clear in these verses. I just give you a few. I mentioned the newborn babes in 1 Peter 2. We need to grow. But look at this. Three verses later, Peter says that you are living stones are being built up. So the growth of these babes issues in the building up of God's house. So growth is for building. And matter of fact, because the building is an organic building, when you grow, it is the building. You don't grow and then do some building. The growth in life is the building. How have you grown? How have you been built up? Right? All of you. You just look at yourselves. Wesley. Amen, brother. Look at Wesley. When Wesley was born, how many years ago, Wesley?
22.
22 years ago. Wow, Wesley. I don't remember that day, but I know your parents do. And when you were born, you were like this. You're like this. Amen. But look at you now. You've been built up.
Amen.
How did you get built up?
Like growing in life.
Yes. And how do you grow in life?
Oh.
What do you eat?
Protein.
Protein. Amen. You like what do you like to eat?
Ground beef.
Ground beef. What's your favorite meal that your mom makes for you?
Pesto pasta.
Wow, look at that. Carbohydrates.
Oh, amen.
Wonderful, brother. Protein, carbs, all those good things. Lipids, yeah, you need them all.
Amen.
You are a constitution, an organic constitution.
Amen.
Of all that you've eaten.
Amen.
This is the building up.
Amen.
He got built up by growing.
Amen.
How does the church get built up? By your growing.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. The church is God's heart's desire. But the building of the church is a matter of your heart. So I'd like to say tonight, the church is a heart matter. The church is a heart matter. You know why? The church comes out of the heart of God. It's His heart's desire. But for Him to gain His heart's desire depends on your heart. Depends on the growth of life. Depends on His growth in your heart. If He doesn't grow in your heart, there will be a lack in the building of the church. Peter said this, the growth is the building. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians. God causes the growth. Then he says, a few verses later, you are God's cultivated land, God's building. God's building. Wherever there's the growth in life, there's the building. Without the growth in life, there's no building. And without our heart, there could be no growth in life. So I hope you see the connection tonight of these three. We need to take care of our heart so Christ can grow in us. When he grows in us, the church is being built. So you are a very important factor in the building of the church. It's not just what you say in the meetings that causes the building of the church. Certainly, he who prophesies builds up the church. You should speak. When you go back next Lord's Day, you should speak. The saints have been praying for you. They might have even supported you to come this week. Go and speak. Speak all these words that you've heard. But don't just speak. Take care of your heart every day, and the church will be built. Isn't this something? This is precious, and this is hidden. This isn't, nobody sees this. Nobody, I don't know. I can't look out at you and gauge how much has Christ grown. I can't tell. We don't know. We see one another in the corporate life, in the meeting life. But we don't know what has gone on in the depths of our being. We don't know who will be the overcomers. We may be surprised when the Lord comes. Oh, that person, they seemed so active. They did so many things. But how much had Christ grown in them? Only the Lord knows. Only the Lord knows. A says the church is built up by life. Only the growth and transformation in life can produce precious materials for the building of the church. Growth and transformation in life. In Matthew 13, it's very interesting. You see the seed? The seed is sown, then it grows up. When the seed is grown up, what does it become? It becomes wheat. But then the wheat, you know what happens to the wheat? The wheat needs to be ground. Ground. Have you experienced any grinding? If you live together with other brothers or sisters, I'm sure you've experienced some grinding. Yeah. But that's okay. That's good. Yeah, the wheat needs to be ground into meal. Into meal, to be a meal offering to the Lord. But then it's not good enough just to be meal. We need to be transformed. Meal can still be leavened. But you know what? Precious stone can never be leavened. Isn't that good? So don't be satisfied only to grow in the Lord, but say, Lord, transform me. Transform me into something precious, something solid. A precious stone. So at the end of Matthew 13, you see the matter of a treasure. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of the heavens, is not only a seed, not only wheat, not only meal, but it becomes a treasure hidden in a field. And it becomes a pearl of great value. This is gold, pearl, and precious stone. This is the material of the New Jerusalem. So we need to grow and we need to be transformed for the building of the church. B, the growth in life is not the improvement of ourselves. Oh, to be saved, dear young people, from trying to improve ourselves. We all like to do this. We all like to improve. We like to be better. We like to say, I'm not going to do that again. But dear young people, I hope you could learn soon, quickly. This is not the growth in life. I used to do that. Now I don't do it anymore. It's not to just improve yourself, to change yourself. Yeah, even all the words you hear this week, I hope you wouldn't just say, I'm going to go back and change. I'm going to be a better Christian. I hope the Lord will give you some failures. Really. Why? Because if you don't fail, then you're going to stay on that track, right? The longer you succeed, the stronger you are, the longer it'll take for the Lord. Yeah, you just need a few failures to try to improve yourself. Then you can be more dependent on the Lord. The growth in life is the increase of Christ. We need the Lord to turn us from self-improvement to the growth in life. For what? Let's say that together. For the building up of the church. You see that again and again. This is what it's for, young people. Our heart is for the building of the church. See, how about let's read see together. Christ as the life-giving Spirit is the wonderful seed of life. He is all-inclusive. In Him we have everything that we need. So this wonderful seed is just Christ Himself. He's the sower. But what He sows is Himself. How would you plan to bring in a kingdom? God says the kingdom of God is like a sower. We would think, oh, I need to get a bunch of strong brothers. I need to get an army. I need to get a force to go and subdue people and to bring in my kingdom. This is how every man, every dictator in the history of the earth has thought. But God has another thought. I want to bring in my kingdom. Wow. I'm impressed. What power? You know what kind of power it is? It's a life power. It's a seed power. Young people, everything is in the seed. The DNA of the kingdom of God is in the seed. It's in Christ. And Christ is the life-giving Spirit. And where is He today? In your spirit. The Lord be with your spirit. The seed of the kingdom be with your spirit. Everything you need is in that seed. You know, the roots are in the seed. The stalk is in the seed. The trunk is in the seed. The branches are in the seed. The leaves are in the seed. The buds are in the seed. The fruit is in the seed. When you look at a seed, you can't look at it the same way anymore. Wow, what a seed! We all have the seed sown into us. Christ has been sown into us. Everything, dear young people, is in that seed. Everything that you need for your Christian life, everything you need for the church life is in that seed. The proper human living is in that seed. How to relate to your parents is in that seed. How to be a son or a daughter. How to be a brother or a sister. How to relate to siblings. How to relate to older people. How to take care of children. I don't know. I was a single child in my family, you might say. Yeah, I wasn't. Yeah, I had three younger brothers. But you might say, I don't know how to take care of the children. It's in the seed. I don't know how to preach the gospel. It's in the seed. Everything we need is there. But we need to take care of our heart so the seed can grow. There's no problems with the seed. The issue is just with the heart, the human soil. And we'll touch some points tonight to see how we can cooperate with this seed. In Him, we have everything that we need. In 1 Peter 1:23, I just give you an extra verse. It says that we are regenerated with an incorruptible seed. This seed can never be corrupted. It's incorruptible. This is Christ. Now, in letter D, how about let's read? This is an important point. Let's read together. Our spirit is the very spot into which Christ as the seed of life has been sown, whereas our heart is the field in which Christ grows and spreads. The way to grow in life is to give Him the room to grow in our heart. So your spirit is where the seed was sown. But I hope you would underline this. Our heart is the field in which Christ grows and spreads. So again, I repeat, your heart is a garden. Your heart is a garden. It's a field. You got to take care of it. You got to guard it. Don't just let anyone into it. Don't just let anything into it. It's very precious to the Lord. Your heart. This is where Christ can grow. This is where he can spread. Okay, Roman numeral 2. How about all together? We must deal with the condition of our heart to make our heart the good earth for the full growth of Christ in us. If you have your Bible, maybe you could turn to these verses. I just like to read them. I know many are familiar with them, but it's so good to read the Word of God, isn't it? I'm so happy to see you all memorizing these verses. Why? You need to let the Word dwell in you. You need to muse on the Word. Think about it. Just let it saturate you. Even reading these few verses right now, as we read them, just let the Lord speak to you. Let the Lord speak to you about your heart. So this parable of the Lord shows us the four conditions of our heart. The four conditions of our heart. And it shows us also that we need to deal with our heart to make our heart the good earth. We need to make our heart the good earth. Okay? So I'll read to you Matthew 13. If you have it, you can follow along. 3-8. Let's just read these few verses. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, and if you have it, we can read together. Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the way, and the birds came and devoured them. And others fell on the rocky places, where they did not have much earth. And immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. And when the sun rose, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered. And others fell on the thorns. And the thorns came up and choked them. But others fell on the good earth and yielded fruit, 100-fold, and 160-fold, and 130-fold. So these verses show us the four kinds of heart. And I'd just like to give you one other verse that I hope you would consider. That's Psalm 139, 23-24. And even as we go through these points, I hope you would pray this to the Lord. Psalm 139, 23-24 says, again, a psalm of David, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts." And listen to this. "Lord," he didn't say Lord, but I said Lord. "Lord, and see if there is some harmful way in me." Is there some harmful way in my heart? And that word harmful can also be translated idolatrous. Meaning, Lord, is there any idols? We fellowshiped about idols the other night. Lord, see if there is some harmful or idolatrous way in me. And listen, Lord, and lead me on the eternal way. What a prayer. If we would just pray this to the Lord, I don't really need to speak. If you would spend time with this and the Lord, my job's done. "Search me, O God, and know my heart." Yeah. "Lord, see if there's some harmful way in me." Yeah. "Shine on me, Lord. Don't let me go." Yeah. "Lead me, Lord. Touch my heart and lead me on the eternal way." The eternal way. What a precious, precious word. Now, let's come to these four kinds of soil. In the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, the seed is sown into four kinds of soil. One, how about let's read together? The wayside signifies the heart that has been hardened by worldly traffic and cannot open to receive Christ as the seed of life. So I'd like you to underline the phrase, cannot open. The seed comes, the Lord sows the seed, the Lord speaks a word in a meeting, or you open the Bible to read the word, the Lord sows some seed to you, He wants to speak to you. But what happens? Your heart is hardened because of worldly traffic. Worldly traffic. This is a heart by the wayside. Yeah, by the wayside. You go by fields, right? Sometimes you drive up. Maybe some of you are from Central California. Yeah. I love to drive that, the Grapevine, yeah, 599, and just see the fields. It's just a lovely sight to see all the fields, the vines. Yeah. Growing. But then you notice in every field, you see that there's like a path, right? Where the tractor goes that's by the way. So some seed fell there because there was a lot of traffic. What happened to that ground? It got compacted. It got compacted. All the traffic. It got compacted. So now the seed comes. This all-inclusive seed that can do everything. But it can't even enter into your heart. Because it's so hard. Have you not experienced this? Before a meeting, Saturday, you did some studying, staying up with your work. Then you said, you know what? Let me just take a look and see what's on there. Yeah, check out the, let's see what's streaming. Yeah, what's, catch up with a little Netflix. And before you know it, yeah, this is the hands on the clock. Woo! Hours later, you're all caught up. Yeah. But you just, the next morning, Lord's Day morning. Oh, the Lord's Day meeting. Oh, yeah, I need to get to the meeting. But you stayed up, yeah, till 2 a.m. Hard to get up and on time. And then you're like, man, I don't really have anything anyway. The Lord's speaking. The brothers are encouraging. Come on, let's go to the meeting. But what happens? The word of the Lord. It can't even penetrate. It doesn't even get in. Yeah, we'll see other seeds that it gets in at least. But here, the worldly traffic, we just have to recognize it, young people. How many times is it going to take for us to recognize that the worldly traffic hardens our heart? Right? We've experienced it, but we don't need to keep repeating it. Let's say, Lord, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, save me from the worldly traffic. Whatever it is to you, to me it's something else because I'm older. The worldly traffic, it could be music, videos, games, sports, movies, fashion. Remember, dear young people, what is the world? The world is anything that occupies us and possesses us besides the Lord. It's not just bad things. It's not just negative. It could be your career. It could be classical music. Wow, what a man, Handel. Wasn't he an amazing composer? He even wrote this piece called The Messiah. Oh, it's filled with the Word of God. But you could be so caught up with classical music that your heart is filled with that. There's no room for the Lord. Anything that occupies us, this is the worldly traffic. Be aware of this. Be on guard, young people. On Saturday night, my dear brothers and sisters, Saturday night, guard your heart. This is prime time. Why? Because it's just before Lord's Day, right? And it's so easy to do things. Yeah, you know, take a break. I had an exam on Friday. Yeah, I deserve a little break. Go out. You know, go out to a restaurant, yeah, get some ice cream, enjoy myself, whatever, you know, that's okay. It's okay to treat yourself once in a while, but guard your heart. Guard your heart. The worldly traffic will cause your heart to become hardened. Right now, it's so soft. Why? Because this whole weekend, we've just been opening to Him, right? The worldly traffic has been far away from us. But tomorrow you go. You go back. Just open to Him. Say, Lord, I don't even know where to begin. I don't even know where to begin. Lord, before the college training, I spent hours on this or that. Maybe the Lord just says, you know what? How about just 1 hour a day? Right? Maybe just reducing. Reducing. A little less. Yeah. So the Lord can grow in you. So this is the first kind of heart. It cannot open. Cannot open. So I'd like you to underline that word, cannot open. Two. Let me read to you two. The rocky places refer to the heart that is shallow. I'd like you to underline, highlight, circle. Shallow in receiving the word of the kingdom. Now, the word gets in. You say, oh, I received the word. I hear the Lord. The Lord speaks to me. I receive it. It gets into me. But remember, the Lord needs the growth in life. Not just the receiving of life, but the growth in life, the spreading of life. He wants to have all the parts of our being. The rocky places are a shallow heart. A shallow heart. And listen what happens. I just repeat the verses. What happened here? Immediately they sprang up. Yeah, so you receive the word, you hear a word. We need to love the Lord with all our heart. Amen. Lord, I want to love you with all my heart. But what happened? But because they had no depth of earth, no depth of earth, when the sun rose, they were scorched. So at first, they received the word sprouted, it was life, it was a new beginning. This college training would be a new beginning to you. There's sprouts, there's signs of life. It's so encouraging. But for that seed to continue to grow, we need to take out the rocks. We need to deal with the rocks. We'll see what the rocks are. We don't just want the receiving, but we want the growth in all of you. I want the growth in me. What happened? All of these things come. Yeah, they hear. And what happens? The sun rose, it was scorched, because they had no root. No root. Listen to that word. No depth. And if you have no depth, then you'll have no root. No root. Because they had no root, they withered. That sun, all that the Lord sends us, all of our environments, all of our situations, the trials, the sufferings, the difficulties, the sun is for the growth of life. You shouldn't say, Lord, take away the sun. No, without the sun, we can't grow, right? We need water and we need sun. You know, I moved to Riverside many years ago. Wow. Boy, it was hotter than I ever experienced in my life. I grew up in Long Beach and then I was in the training and I lived in Irvine for a couple years, you know, near the ocean. The first summer I moved out to Riverside, it was like 110. I was like, really? But you know what? The Lord, every year when it gets hot in Riverside, you know what I do, brothers? The Lord just reminds me. The overcomers, you know, in Revelation 14, what they are? They're the first fruits. They're the fruits. And you know what it says in the footnote there? It says, they're the wheat that, you know what happened? They were dried out. The wheat becomes mature by the drying out of water. And the water is the earthly enjoyment. So every time, every summer, I'm in Riverside, I'm in the inland area, and it gets up to 110, I say, Lord, dry me out. Lord, mature me. Yeah, I'm just reminded. Yeah, this heat, this physical heat, it's not the real heat. The real heat will come. We don't have to pray for that heat. Yeah, it'll come in our family, in our relationships, in our schooling, in our education, in our jobs, in our finances, in our health. Many ways the sun will come. But my concern for you is this. Do you have depth of earth? Do you have roots? If you have roots, then that sun will just cause you to flourish. It won't cause you to wither. It'll cause you to flourish. But if you have no roots, if you have no depth, if you have no hidden life with the Lord, then that sun will cause you to wither. Why do we see some? They were here with us last year, 2 years ago. Yeah, we saw them at Welcome Week. They were so happy. They were enjoying. They touched the Lord. They received the Lord. But then just after a short time, from their family, from persecution, right? Trials came. And they're not here anymore. They withered. What happened? Lord, is that going to happen to me? Well, the Lord tells us. He tells us we need to take care of the depth of earth. We need to have depth of earth. Our heart needs to give the Lord more ground. More ground. So this is very important. Very important. The Lord wants to shine on us. Lord, remove the rocks. So let's see what they are. A, rocks signify hidden sins. Hidden sins. These are things that are hidden, right? Aren't rocks hidden? They're underneath the surface. Yeah, they're hidden. Only the Lord knows, my dear young people. Only the Lord knows. You know, and the Lord knows. As you touch the Lord, and I believe, even this week, the Lord has been shining on you, has been touching you. The hidden sins. Not the ones in front of everyone. Not when you said something. Not when you did something in public, in front of others. But the things that we do, the things that we see, the things that we post, the things that we text online, or just to a select crowd that don't include the brothers or sisters, right? You know, all of these things can become rocks. Again, we in the meetings, we can be praising, we can be worshiping with our mouth, but our heart could be far away. Our heart could be far away. There could be hidden things. So we just need to confess. Proverbs, he who covers his transgressions will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Isn't this a precious word? What should you do if there's something hidden in your life? You should confess, number one, but you need to also forsake it. You need to leave it. You need to cut it off. Yeah, don't just say, Lord, forgive me, and then you need to get rid of that. You need to delete it. We're all weak, dear young people. We're all weak. We're all the same. We all have failures. We just don't want to repeat those failures over and over, right? We want to open to the Lord. Even open to others to fellowship. You know, you have others that are a little older than you. Serving ones, families, saints. Open to them. Come to them. Maybe you don't know how to deal with it. Don't try to just do it all by yourself, right? We're in the body. We're in the body. But I know it's difficult. It's difficult to open up some hidden things. But we need to deal with them if we want the Lord to grow. Rocks signify personal desires. Personal desires. Things that we desire for ourselves. In these verses in Genesis 13, it refers to Lot. So Lot chose for himself. I just like to say that phrase. So Lot chose for himself the entire plain of Jordan. Yeah. Anything that you just choose for yourself, that could be a rock. Could be. You just choose, that's just for me. That's all, that's mine. I want to go there. I want to do that. That's my choice. My encouragement to you is let the Lord choose. Open to the Lord. Lord, how do you feel? Your major, graduate school, the training, a job, so many things that are coming up in your life to choose. Yeah. Oh, Lord. Lord, are there any personal desires, right, that have become a rock that maybe are preventing the Lord from going deeper in you? You just want to open those to the Lord. Let the Lord choose. What else are the rocks? C says rocks signify self-seeking. Self-seeking. Yeah, we're seeking for something for ourselves. The word I'd like to use here is the word ambition. Ambition. All of us have a desire to be somebody. Yeah. Not just in the world, to be the top of our class, to be appreciated, to have our name on the honor roll, to have those extra cords at graduation. Yeah. I didn't just turn the tassel, but it was a couple extra cords, you know, the gold color type. Yeah. It's good. I encourage you to do the best you can, right? Study hard. The Lord encourages us, and the examples in the Word of Moses and Paul show us. Get the top education. But can you do that without self-seeking? It's for the Lord. Lord, I give you the glory. Lord, whatever I am, whatever capacity I have, it's from you. I didn't create myself. In Philippians, it says, Paul said this sad word, "For all seek their own things, not the things of Christ Jesus." He was looking for some who could be his co-workers, who could join him in God's economy. But all were seeking their own things. Even in seeking the Lord, we might seek our own things. Say, oh, I'm not seeking the world. I'm not seeking a degree. I just want to be someone in the church. I'm really looking forward to, you know, this summer fellowship before our fall begins, because I'm really hoping that this year, that maybe this would be the year I could be president of Christians on Campus. Yeah, just maybe, or at least, you know, at least an officer. Brothers, Emmanuel, yeah. At least, you know, UCSD, at least make me an officer. Come on. I've been around for a long time. I've been faithful. I've been going to all the club meetings, right? Just make me an officer in Christians on Campus, you know? I don't know. That's why the brothers have to pray. Oh, Lord, who should be the... Sometimes what might happen? The brothers, they might choose a junior. But you're a senior. But they chose a junior. What? They passed me up? They chose someone else to be the president of the... They chose someone else to put on the flyer, the contact person? I want to be the contact person. It's my time. I've arrived. This is just an example. I don't know if this is touching anybody. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. You know what things you might be seeking after, even in the church life, even in the campus work, to have something, to be something. These could be rocks. Yeah, you really love the Lord. But there's just a rock there. If you would deal with the Lord, you know what? There'll be more ground in you. The Lord could grow in you faster, deeper. When the sun comes, that sun is just a sun for growth. It's not a sun for withering. The sun doesn't make you die. The sun makes you thrive. How about that? This is what the sun is for. But we need to have such a heart. Rocks signify self-pity. I never read this verse before. Job 19:21. I think this is Job himself. He says, "Pity me. Pity me, O my friends, for the hand of God has touched me." Have you ever shared this with your companions? "Pity me. Pity me, O my friends, for the hand of God has touched me." Self-pity, right? Woe is me. Oh, I'm not as good as others. Oh, I don't get as good grades. Oh, I wish I had rich parents. Oh, I wish I didn't have to have a job. Oh, I wish I didn't have to take the bus to school. Wish I had my own car. Yeah. You just, all of these things, right? You compare yourself with others. You feel down. You look at yourself. Oh, I wish I was smarter. Oh, I wish I got into UC. You finish the last few letters. Yeah. Pity, self-pity can become a rock. A rock. There's no room. The Lord wants to gain you. But you just think about it a lot. You dwell on it. It just eats you up. It takes up space. And then finally, rocks also signify temper, lust, self, and the flesh. All of these things. Okay, let's go on to the last few points here. 3 says, the thorny soil signifies a heart full of anxieties and the deceitfulness of riches that consume the ground in which the seed should grow. So here, what should you underline? Consume the ground. 1, the seed doesn't even get in because you're hard. 2, it gets in, but it can't take root because you're shallow. And 3, it gets in, it goes down, but there's not much ground around where the seed went in. So around the seed is growing, but there's a lot of other things growing. And all the ground around the seed of life, around Christ, consumes the ground, takes up the space, takes up the air, takes up the sunlight, chokes the seed of life from growing. These are the thorns, the deceitfulness of riches. Be careful, young people. Be careful. The deceitfulness of riches. You know what happens at college time? Something that didn't happen in high school, I don't think. Maybe I'm a little behind now. But one thing that I notice on college campuses is there's a lot of tables that are ready to offer you a credit card. It's time for you to get a credit card. Yeah, credit card. Have you got your credit card yet? Yeah. Why? If you get a credit card, oh yeah, let's give you $4,000, $2,000. Now you can buy things and you don't even have to have the money for it. Very subtle. Very subtle. Don't use your credit card to buy anything that you don't have the money in the bank. That's just my word of fellowship to you, yeah. Financial planning, management for the future. But what happens? What happens with many young people? Yeah, I need a car. Yeah, there's a used car, or someone has a car. You could buy a used car from someone, or your dad wants to pass it down. No, Dad. I need to get that new Camry. It's nice. Man, when my friends see me driving that new Camry, woo, man, hook it up. I don't know if that's the right word to use. Yeah. Man, I got to get that new car. But listen. You think by having that new car, oh yeah, what's going to happen? You get that new car, then you need a job. You need a job to support that payment for that new car. And oh yeah, by the way, there's something called car insurance. And when you're your age, woo. Oh yeah. And you're a brother? Oh yeah. Yeah. Single brother, right? 18, woo! You just thought it was the car. And then you realize, oh my goodness, there's car insurance too? And then there's the stuff you put in the car called gasoline? Oh my goodness. So you're working a job just to pay for that car because you wanted a nice car instead of just getting the car that was sufficient. Isn't a car just like a box on four wheels? It's just to get you there, right? I know not all the brothers agree with me. No, brother. A car is an expression of status, of future eligibility. I don't know. What is it? Yeah. Car. A car. It might have more meaning. But really, what is it? It's just to get you from one place to another. Yeah, as long as it gets you there, then it worked. Matter of fact, the more expensive car you have, then the more what? The more anxiety you have. Oh my goodness. You're so anxious because you don't want to get that first ding in the car. You park too close to Wesley. You come out of the Lord's Day meeting. Praise the Lord. I love the Lord. Oh man. What's this? A ding in my new car. I'm not coming to the meetings anymore. Or at least I'm not parking next to Wesley. Dear young people, the riches, having more than you need. This is what I'd like to touch. Having more than you... The Lord knows we need food, we need drink, we need clothing, we need transportation. But is it more than you need? You can get trapped. You can get trapped. Because you got that more expensive car, then you have to work more. Then your work schedule, you got to work overtime, so then you don't make the meetings. And so you trace it all the way back, and then your heart grows cold, and you wanted to go to the full-time training, but now you're in debt, so you graduate from college, and you got to go work. Why? To pay off that car. You see how it worked? You trace it all back. What was it? It was that choice to get that more expensive car, and it changed the whole direction of your next 4 years. It doesn't mean you can't go to the training. Pay off the car. But you see how the deceitfulness of riches, yeah, having more expensive things, mammon, it's so deceitful. It's a thorn. It grows up. You're growing in the Lord, and then these riches, oh, if I could just get, then I'll be happy. Oh, no, but sometimes I'm driving my 2012 Hyundai Sonata, and I'm driving like, Lord, you know, I have a good job, and, you know, Lord, it's about time, right? It's been 5 years, right? It's about time. These newer cars are coming out. Yeah, Toyota Camry and Honda Accord. And then I see another Hyundai drive by. I'm like, Lord, it's a Genesis. That's a book in the Bible. Lord, how about a Hyundai Genesis? How about a new beginning, Lord? We can even use our spiritual knowledge to justify what we do. Haven't you done this? Yeah. You justified some purchase, something, some place, because, yeah, you related it to some word. Yeah, some term that you know. Oh, Lord, have mercy. So we need to take care of the thorns. I just give you a few examples. Again, may the Lord speak to you more than I can. Anxiety is the gear that makes the world move. We must do our duty today, but do it without being anxious about our living. Do your duty. Take care of your school. Take care of your work, but don't be anxious. And usually anxiety is related to having more than you need. Having more than you need. Just say, Lord, teach me how to be content with what you've given me. Lord, just to be satisfied. Paul said this. He said, I've learned the secret. It was a secret. How to be abased. He didn't have much. How to abound. Yeah, in everything, in all things, he learned the secret. Oh, how precious if it's as a young person, you would be, just do your duty, but not be anxious about your living. All these things the Gentiles are anxiously seeking. their food, their drink, their clothing. The Father knows you need these things. Seek His kingdom. All these things will be added to you. This is one of the Lord's promises to us, that if we would seek His kingdom first, that He would take care of us. Hasn't He taken care of you? Some of you that have grown up in the church life, some of your parents, maybe they serve the Lord full time, or some serve in the church life. Haven't you seen the Lord take care of all your needs? It's just beautiful. Sometimes we haven't had much, but an offering comes through the church and just meets our need, just takes care of us. We couldn't make it to the college training, and all of a sudden the brothers tell us, yeah, some saint offered for you to go. Right? The Father. We have a Father. We have a Father. Yeah. Amen. We have a Father. Right? Whose heart is full of love toward us. Yeah, He's faithful to us. You need to know God as your Father. Abraham knew God as the Father. That means he knew God as his source. That everything comes from Him. Everything we have is from Him. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't from Him. So can't we trust Him now? If He's taking care of us up till today, wouldn't we trust Him for tomorrow? Or will we decide, oh, now I need to do something on my own. I can't trust Him. That's the anxiety of the age. B says there's no anxiety in the divine life. To God, anxiety is a strange term. God's life is a life of enjoyment, rest, comfort, and satisfaction. The source of anxiety is Satan. Anxiety comes from Satan to frustrate the fulfillment of God's purpose. So instead of anxiety, Philippians says, in nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. This is a real key, young people, with thanksgiving. The more you thank the Lord for what you have, for where you are, the less anxiety you have. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, contact Him. In nothing be anxious, but in everything fellowship with Him. Talk to Him. Indeed, it says anxiety is Satan's incarnation. If you welcome anxiety, you will welcome Satan, the devil. Peter says casting all your anxiety on Him. Yeah, on the Lord. Because it matters to Him concerning you. Cast it on Him. Don't bear it. Don't bear it. You may have anxiety about your grades, about your finances. How are we going to pay for this? How am I going to get done? Is it going to take another year? My parents can't afford that. You have so many anxieties. Sometimes the young people today, so much anxiety consumes them that what? There's just a sense of hopelessness and despair. And we see it, don't we? On all the college campuses, young people, they lose all their hope. So we see suicides increasing. When I was looking up that matter of heart disease being the leading cause of death in the U.S., I was shocked. Suicide is the 11th leading cause of death in the United States. We need to cast our anxieties on Him. Don't bear it. Cast it on Him. Come to Him. Open to Him. Burdens come to you, what should you do? Bring them to the Lord. Every burden is like a brick. You just give it to Him. Pass it on. Don't bear it. Don't try to bear it by yourself. Bring it to Him and bring it to your companions. Bring it to your small group. Bring it to your home meeting. We need each other. We're not here by ourselves trying to be super people. Bring it to Him. Bring it to the body. By means of prayer and petition, we should cast our anxiety and burdens on God to free ourselves of the entanglement and oppression of anxiety so that we can be free and happy. F, we should take care of God's need and His purpose. He then will take care of our future. Dear young people, our future is not under our own care, but under the care of our Father. Remember, our Father is loving and faithful. Loving and faithful. Commit yourself to Him and trust that He will take care of you. Your future is in the Lord's hand. Your future is the Lord's future, and His future is bright. Now, let's read number 4, the good earth. What is the good earth? The good earth is the heart that gives all the room to the seed for its growth. This is the good earth. We want to give all the room. So if we've dealt with these things, dear young people, open to the Lord, deal with these things. This is not once for all. It doesn't mean that after this week, I'm going to have a good heart for the rest of my life. Sorry, it doesn't work like that. Again and again, things will come. That's why I said, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Maybe you haven't been guarding your heart, so things have been coming in. Things are in your heart already. Then you need to deal with it. B says, shows us the way. We need to deal with our heart by admitting our condition to the Lord and having a detailed confession under His shining. I believe the Lord led you this week to have some of this experience. But don't stop. Don't stop. Maybe even today the Lord was speaking more. Tonight, tomorrow, yeah. Whatever He shines on, you confess. You confess. Then, in Roman numeral 3, we come to the last Roman numeral. How about let's read together? In order to have Christ as the seed of life deeply rooted in us, we need to be deeply rooted in Him by having a secret life and a secret history with Him. We all need such a life and such a history. Dear young people, there should be experiences of the Lord that you have that no one knows about. You should have a secret history. This means there should be experiences of the Lord in prayer, personally with the Lord, dealings with the Lord, reading of the Word, fellowship with the Lord, that no one knows about. Meaning there should be things that are hidden, that are under the surface. We shouldn't just broadcast everything that we experience of the Lord. That means that your life is just above ground. There has to be some hidden experiences, some hidden life, some roots. This is a hidden life that is going deeper into the Lord. These are the experiences that will keep you in the difficult times. We all have to have some. The one sown on the rocky places, we read this verse, is he who hears the word, immediately receives it with joy, yet he does not have root in himself, but lasts only for a time. And when affliction or persecution occurs, because of the word, immediately he is stumbled. Roots are growth that occur beneath the soil. Leaves are growth that occurs above the soil. Roots are the hidden life, whereas leaves are the manifest life. I'd like to give you this contrast. Write this down. Remove the rocks. Remove the rocks. What are rocks? We just take the first word, hidden sins. Hidden sins. Remove the rocks, the hidden sins. When you remove the rocks, the hidden sins, then number 2, develop roots. Develop roots. What are the roots? Hidden life. Hidden life. So I like all of you to exchange hidden sins for hidden life. Get rid of the rocks. Bring in the roots. This is the life we need. This is the life we need. I hope you would pray over this. Lord, remove the rocks. Lord, increase the roots. B says we all need a secret hidden life with the Lord, a life in which we experience the Lord secretly in the depths of our being. Our spiritual life depends very much on our hidden life before God. Nothing can preserve us as much as a hidden life. Underline that sentence. I want you all to be preserved. What will preserve us in the coming years? Nothing can preserve us as much as a hidden life. If we want to remain standing in the day of trial, we must have deep roots. Listen to this. In ordinary times. That means day by day. You can't say, oh, I see the sun rising. Oh, I see a suffering is coming. A trial is coming. Oh, let me get those roots in there. Too late. Too late. When the sun comes up, you got to have the roots already. That means you have to develop them day by day. In ordinary days. In these kind of days. In Monday. Monday is going to be an ordinary day. It's not going to be. It's the day after the college training. It's just an ordinary day. That's the day to develop your roots. Because I don't know what's coming next year. But if you have the roots, if you develop them day by day, there will be something so solid, so deep, so supplying. And you know, the roots keep the trees not only to grow and not wither, but even from falling over. Winds come. Storms come. In the church life, sometimes there are storms. But if you're rooted in the Lord, the saints who have been rooted in the Lord, they can stand in the midst of storms. I really encourage you to read Jeremiah 17, 7 to 8. It talks about a tree that sends out its roots by a stream. And this tree is not afraid when heat comes. And you know what? This tree is not anxious. In the year of drought, it will not cease to bear fruit. Could you pass through a year of drought? Not just a day, not just a week, not just a whole year of drought. You could go through a dry time, but you could still bear fruit. May the Lord make you such. We must take time in secret to absorb the Lord, setting aside time every morning to have direct and intimate fellowship with the Lord in prayer, reading His Word. So I just encourage you, take time. One practical word in number three is this. You need a place free of distraction. You need a place free of distraction. Hasn't it been so sweet this week to find a stump, to find a tree? Yeah, to find a place here at Oak Glen where you could spend time with the Lord? Yeah, I know Westwood is not like Oak Glen. Yeah. La Jolla is not like Oak Glen. It's pretty nice, yeah, but it's not like Oak Glen. There's a lot more people. There's a lot more traffic. There's a lot more distractions. Dear young people, you have to find a place where you can just be with Him in a quiet environment. Turn off that cell phone, right? Give Him some time to be face to face, to let Him go deeper in you. And lastly, we're going to read the focus, but how about tonight, instead of praying two by two, let's just take 1 minute and you just pray with the Lord. One last night. Just whatever He touched you tonight, you just pray to Him. You just open Him. Any rocks, any hardness, any thorns, you just confess. But before we take that minute, let's read the focus. We need to deal with the condition of our heart under the shining of the Lord's light so that our heart may be the good earth for the unhindered growth of Christ as the seed of life within us.